McLean Middleton Minutes, a podcast dedicated to business, legal, and community news in New Hampshire and Massachusetts. You'll hear about all things legal and how they affect business. You'll also hear from local business and community leaders sharing stories of their success. In law and business, good things often take time. So, without a minute to spare, let's get started with McLean Middleton Minutes.
Welcome to a new episode of McLean Middleton Minutes. I'm your host, Attorney Jennifer Parent. And joining me today as co-host is Attorney Linda Johnson. We are excited to bring you today's episode, which is an interview with Tricia Soule, the Executive Director for the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts. This episode is part of the firm's What's Her Story series, which features women business and community leaders. Tricia, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity to join you.
So to get started, Tricia, can you tell us about the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts? Specifically, what's the organization's mission and how is it structured?
Sure. So the organization was founded in the mid-1980s. The mission is to educate, motivate, and recognize business support of and participation in the arts. We really look to facilitate projects that help to ensure that the creative sector is recognized for its economic, social, and community development. So, I mean, basically, we work to break down barriers between the business and arts communities to find ways that what are traditionally two or thought of as two very separate and distinct sectors, that we try to find ways to bring those groups together to learn from one another and really recognize that they have much more in common than not. And the only way you can really do that is to get those people into the same room so that they begin having conversations so that they can develop a common language.
Now, I know you've said before, arts and culture are the foundation of vibrant, diverse, and prosperous communities. What do you mean by that?
Basically, that it's the arts and the creatives. And when I say creatives, yes, it's what we think of traditionally as maybe a visual artist or somebody who sings or dances or plays an instrument, but it's creatives that we might not automatically think of who even work in some of the businesses. So they might be in marketing or advertising, even in, you know, human resources. That segment is all about being able to communicate, and the arts are a really important form of helping us to learn how to express ourselves. So when we talk about creatives, those are some of the ways that, you know, of what I mean. Also, when you think about like your favorite restaurant and the chef that creates the meals that people go to enjoy before or after they've gone to the theater and enjoyed a show, they've gone shopping, you know, everything is really interconnected, and communities, the most vibrant communities often have a very strong presence of the arts, a commitment of the community to the arts. And that can mean individual artists who might live and work in the community. There might be studios like over in Portsmouth, there's the Button Factory. It can be really any different form of ways to bring people together. So it could be the theater, it can be a restaurant, it could be a coffee shop. It's all about building community.
So my understanding is you're bringing the business and arts communities together, and that's what helps create that strong and vibrant economy or community. Mm-hmm. And that helps businesses because it helps in recruiting new talent, and it provides sort of that strong quality of life that businesses want to offer their employees.
Absolutely.
And so the New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts is part of that collaboration and the bringing together of those two communities, the arts community and the business community. Mm-hmm. So you're the second executive director in the organization's 35-year history, and you're following the footsteps of Joan Goshgarian as the first executive director. Talk to us a little bit about your personal background and what led you to get to this current role.
Well, I like to tell people that I came to the arts late in life. So I had never really taken any kind of formal art class, studio art class, until I was about 29 years old. Prior to that, though, I had worked in the insurance industry where I sold, you know, life insurance and mutual funds and that sort of thing, and enjoyed it, was pretty good at it, but didn't feel fulfilled in that role. And so I always knew that I wanted to own my own business, but I had children and I was trying to, you know, sort of figure out what was next. So I took an art class at the New Hampshire Institute of Art, which is now the Institute of Art and Design at New England College here in Manchester, and instantly fell in love with drawing, with just creating, and recognizing in myself that I had more creativity than I realized. And it was about sort of being vulnerable and taking a risk in putting myself out there and trying something brand new, which was so rewarding and exciting. And it gave me the opportunity to get to know artists and develop relationships with these folks. And over time, I realized that there were a lot of artists living and working in New Hampshire that needed an outlet to be able to sell their artwork. So I started an art gallery in Concord where I represented artists from throughout the region, and held, you know, monthly openings, that sort of thing, which were very community-based. So we had people, we were located right in downtown Concord, where we had all of these business people, people working in government, who would come to the openings and meet the artists and start to have conversation about the artwork that they were seeing. So somebody who might have come in earlier in the day and said, you know, I don't understand, what's that abstract painting over there? And I'd say, well, come back and you can meet the artist and have that conversation. So this became, you know, a really exciting way to bring together diverse people around the arts. And what's so lovely to me is that even all this time later, so it's hard to believe, I actually closed the gallery in 2008, and I still have people talk about how much they loved coming together like that, and that they actually missed the gallery. So while it was a tough way for me to make a living, it really set the path for me to get where I am today. So in between where I am now and where I was then, you know, I've taken, I think I told you, Jennifer, I've taken some ceramic classes. I loved playing with clay. I was especially in love with working with porcelain, which is so finicky, and has a little bit of a, you have to be a little bit of a Zen mind to be able to accept all of its cracking and everything you don't expect. You have to be willing to not be perfect. It's perfectly imperfect. So that's something that has always excited me. My dream is someday, you know, retirement, I'll be able to get back into the studio and do some of that again. And then I worked at Company C, which is another creative outlet in Concord. They sell beautiful area rugs that they design right in Concord. I mean, talk about the creative economy at work right here in, you know, in the capital city. Then I was at the Courier for a few years, where I worked in the membership office, which again, these are all things that have gotten me to where I am today, because, you know, New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts is a membership-based organization. So we have businesses of all shapes and sizes that are members, and we've recently launched two new categories of membership. One is for individual artist entrepreneurs, and the other is for arts and cultural organizations. And this gets back to the whole idea of breaking down those boundaries between arts and business, because we believe strongly that these business or these individuals and organizations, they have to function like any business, right? So if an artist wants to be able to make a living selling their art, they need to have business skills to be able to do that successfully. And likewise, every arts or cultural organization, they have books they have to manage and goals they have to meet and whatnot. So that's the very long story of sort of how I went from, selling insurance to here. But I think that even the selling insurance piece of it was all about building relationships. And so I love interacting with people, especially one-on-one. And I like to think that that sort of customer service aspect of things has stayed with me.
Tricia, I read that you said, I love my job at NHBCA, and you certainly can hear it in your voice and your response as you talk about what you do.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I really do. I really feel blessed.
It does sound like you're an example of one of those things of find your passion so you can do what you love and love what you do. And I agree with Jennifer, it exudes from you. So now that you have been at the organization for a few years and you reflect on your time, is there something that you perhaps didn't realize about the organization before you became the executive director, or maybe something that surprised you?
Well, I'll say that I was pretty familiar with the organization because when I had my art gallery, I was actually a business member. So I was very much aware of the organization, and I knew Joan. She and I had actually taken a memoir writing class together. We did a workshop, which was great. So I had met her even before I had the gallery, and then I saw the value in the organization, especially as a gallerist. So we did join. In terms of what's surprised me is not surprised me, but we have this remarkable board. I mean, we have got some of the most, Jennifer thankfully is on our board, but these are like some of the most prestigious business people from around New Hampshire. And it's just amazing to have them, to have their support. They're very empowering. It's a very entrepreneurial position. So I've been, as you said, the second executive director in the history of the organization. And I think one of the things I didn't fully realize before is that Joan didn't have any regular administrative help. So she was, she had a lot of, I think not a lot, but she would have some volunteers that would help out. And as I've worked to try to grow the organization, and I think we have been gaining some momentum, it's like the more you do, the more there is to do. And so trying to find that balance of sort of the day-to-day versus the big vision stuff has been challenging, exciting. It's everything from, trying to make sure that we are on top of like getting our renewal notices out, because all of our funding does come by way of our membership renewals and sponsorship for events. So I guess, again, it's not having realized fully everything that Joan was doing all pretty much on her own for all those years. And stepping into that role was a little bit surprising. I knew what it was, but I didn't maybe realize exactly how big it was, if that makes sense.
But you mentioned membership. What does it mean to be a member?
So again, this is where we are trying to cultivate relationships between the business people and the arts people. When somebody becomes a member, they are helping us to be able to promote the arts, statewide, to be able to let people know what's going on. We have created some art, what we call artful networking events that we're trying to bring around the state. Pre-COVID, we had a great event over at Fidelity Investments in Merrimack, where we created a chance for business. There are business people, there are arts leaders, individual artists who came to Fidelity to meet the curator of their corporate art collection. So she was kind enough to come up from Boston and talk about the New Hampshire artwork that was on display and is on display in their headquarters in Merrimack. And, you know, she spoke to this group of business folks and the artists about the importance of supporting the arts in your community. And what we discovered is that Fidelity is really committed to purchasing original artwork by living, you know, contemporary artists where they actually have a presence. So in New Hampshire, for instance, they have artwork. They had a beautiful sculpture by Gary Haven Smith. They had some fabulous photographs that I can't remember the photographer's name, but they were these beautiful shots of the Zimmerman House down the road here that belongs to the Currier Museum of Art. And it was very interesting to hear her talk about the importance of having art in a space, how it transforms the space and how engaging it makes it for the employees, as well as supporting the local economy. And then, you know, she did this very special tour. We probably had about 50 people come, and she took them around to probably four or five different pieces and was able to talk about the artwork and the artist and answer questions. And it was this really dynamic way for people to engage. So unlike what we might typically think of as a networking event, you know, where you bring your business card and you do the handshake and all of that. I'm not saying that didn't go on, but through the arts, you've now broken down what can be kind of an awkward experience by having a shared experience together around the arts, where it's a natural conversation to talk about what you're seeing or you're doing or you're watching. And so that's something that we're very excited to be able to offer to our members. So we're trying to do more of those. We did one in February, again, up at the Hood Museum, very similar response. It was great. We had John Stomberg, who's the director. He gave us a behind the scenes tour, which was so cool. And then we do other things for our members, like have VIP events. So we're getting ready to launch an augmented reality art exhibition over at the Manchester-Boston Regional Airport. But to build awareness about that and try to bring along some new sponsors, we held this VIP event at La Valley Brensinger, where we gave demonstrations of augmented reality art to get people interested and excited. And that's a more, a more intimate group where there's the networking aspect, but there's also the educational element of that.
It sounds very rich and rewarding. And I guess I would ask you, what do you find the most gratifying for the work that you do?
Seeing the excitement that people have when they experience art in a new and unexpected way. So we had, for instance, a couple of years ago when we had our Arts Awards Gala, we brought in dancers who were the performers, but they were our guests. So they came and they were at the cocktail hour and they were mingling and having conversation. And then they were seated at the dinner table and again, having lovely dinner conversation with people at the table. And then towards the end of the dinner, I think as dessert was coming out, music started and the music began and it engaged these dancers who were sitting at the tables unbeknownst to the other guests. So they were activated in a way that surprised the people sitting at their table. They're turning and saying, oh my gosh, I was just talking about the weather with this person or whatever it might've been. I'm sure it was more stimulating conversation than the weather, but it made the people at the table sort of maybe look at or understand these creative people in a way that they might not have before. There was this great energy and it was interesting. I was very nervous about this because I hadn't ever done this before. I didn't know what to expect. And when I had brought the idea to the board, Jennifer, I don't remember if you were in that meeting or not, but I brought the idea to the board and these are all business people and I'm looking around the table and I'm all animated because I'm very excited talking about this. And actually it was Tom Raffio turned to me and he said, you're not going to make me sing karaoke, are you? Because they didn't know what to expect. And so I, as the music started and I knew it was about to happen and these people started popping up and dancing, we had actors at tables who stood up and recited beautiful text. And there was this engagement between the artists and the music and the dancers. And it was this immersive art experience. And initially I was just looking at people's faces going, oh, this could go either really well or not well at all, but it was very well received. So the thing that just warmed my heart is that I had business people, bankers come up to me and say, Tricia, I've never been to an awards event, anything like this before. What are you gonna do next year? They just loved it. And that's what it's all about. That's the fire and the spark that creativity in others can bring out in us, even if we're engaged in it as the audience.
It sounds completely transformative, and your explanation of it makes me wish I had been there, which I was not. So thank you for that.
Well, Tricia, I do remember that. And I do remember the board meeting because you were also asking the board members if we could provide a seat at our tables for the artists. And my memory is while it was tentatively a new idea and it had to solidify in people's minds, you then had more spaces at tables than you had artists, because I think that the board was supportive of presenting arts in a new way. And this was a way sort of the art came to life. I mean, people were jumping from the tables to dance. But let's switching topics a little bit. I want to talk about something that sounds like an exciting new initiative. And you touched upon it just a moment ago. Tell us about this virtual exhibit that you're working on for the Manchester-Boston Regional Airport. But with that, I'm going to ask you, explain to us what augmented reality and the augmented reality app is.
Okay. So I will begin by saying that a year ago when this conversation began, I had no idea what augmented reality, otherwise known as AR, was. I thought it was virtual reality where you'd put the goggles on and engage in that way. That is not augmented reality. Augmented reality is seen, it's through your phone. So you download an app and then you are able with this particular app, it's called Aery, A-E-R-Y. We've collaborated with them, the airport, and the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen to create this AR exhibition at the airport, so that what we're trying to do is demonstrate the power of, you know, bringing together art, technology, and cultural tourism. So through the AR, well, first of all, I should say there will be original works of art that will be on display in cases at the airport. So you'll be able to see these, you know, really exquisitely handcrafted objects by, you know, juried members from the league. And then you'll be able to also use the app once you've downloaded it, and then you can see some of that same artwork through your phone, but you can play with it. So you can make it, you know, by doing the pinch on your screen, you can make it larger. You can, when it's a three-dimensional object, you can literally walk all the way around it. You can look at it from the top. If it's on a, you know, a glass stand, for instance, you could even see it, like if it's a sculpture, you could see on the bottom where the artist has signed the work. It's just this very interesting way to engage with art, we think, you know, especially in terms of trying to expose a younger audience to the arts, and particularly to the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, which is, you know, a notoriously, you know, for all the right reasons, steeped in history and very traditional. And so this is our way to try and help elevate their profile to a whole new audience. So we're talking about, you know, we're calling it New Hampshire Art and Craft Takeoff in Augmented Reality. And then I think there's something really corny, like, you know, you can take a piece of the Granite State with you anywhere, you know, because you have augmented reality. And that's the beautiful thing about this, you know, because naturally we're in these difficult times dealing with COVID and social distancing and whatnot. So people who download the app at the airport, if they happen to be traveling, they can engage with the artwork there. But because it is the technology, you don't have to be in the airport to see it. So you can really see it anywhere that you have access to Wi-Fi. There's like a, you know, a channel where you can go and you click NHBCA, and then there's actually three different shows within our channel. So one of them will be the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. And then we have another one for Pamela Tarbell, who's a painter, and Tom Devaney, who's a painter. And those are both members of our organization. But the AR is, it's brand new technology. This is really cutting edge. And I don't think that anything like it is happening in this area.
So I love how you're bringing together art, bringing technology, and you're adding it to cultural tourism, which is a business, you know, commerce piece. Mm-hmm. And just, it's so incredible all the different ways that art can be used and how art can impact us. And I know in our first What's Her Story series podcast, Linda and I spoke with Jerrianne Bogus from the Black Heritage Trail of New Hampshire, and we learned from her how art through sculptures and statues and memorials is being used to educate us about New Hampshire's Black history and to help us start a dialogue on race. So there are just so many different ways that the arts can be used and how they impact us, you know, from commerce to having a dialogue about race. Let's take a quick break.
McLean Middleton Minutes is a production of McLean Middleton Law Firm. Visit McLean.com for a collection of articles and resources dedicated to helping your business succeed.
As you look ahead to 2021 and beyond, what are some other priorities or projects that the organization is working on?
Well, we hope that this particular project at the airport will be a smashing success and that we'll be able to continue that that partnership with MHT and with ARI to be able to highlight some other arts and cultural organizations or even individual artists there at the airport. The big hope, and I've been talking with Ted Kitchens, who's the director at the airport, is that we would be able to entice some other airports to be able to partner with us so that we could actually, you know, for instance, if we could partner with like San Antonio or Tampa or whatever airport it might be, that we could help to promote New Hampshire art and cultural tourism to the folks that are using their airport. And maybe it could be, you know, a mutually beneficial thing, right? Where we could help to promote whatever it is they have going on there to travelers from New Hampshire. So trying to find ways to scale up with that is something that I'm really excited about exploring. But then, of course, our signature event is our Arts Awards event, where we recognize businesses of all shapes and sizes for their contributions to arts and culture in the state. And then we also, like I mentioned, we have two new categories of membership. We introduced two new awards as well. So one is for the Artrepreneur, which is for an individual artist entrepreneur who is, using either collaborating or using technology in a way that helps them to grow their practice. And then the other one is the Arts Build Community Award, and that goes to an arts or cultural organization, again, for collaboration, either with a like-minded organization or with a social agency or a municipality. So that's really exciting to be able to continue that. We are beginning to really think about what that event will look like. It typically happens in early May. And, we're exploring what the options are for us to be able to create something really wonderful, within the parameters of our time. So we're looking at a hybrid event that would have a gathering where we can celebrate all of the award nominees and the winners and whatnot, and also do some kind of a live stream of the awards so that it can be a more inclusive type of experience. And AR just might be part of the experience as well.
And Tricia, so often when we think about the arts, we do think of these larger, more prominent venues. Art venues that come to mind. Can you talk a little bit about the arts in some of the northern or more remote parts of our state?
Sure. So, there are some really amazing organizations. Like in the North Country, there's an organization, it's the North Country Arts Alliance, and they really serve as an umbrella to promote and support the arts, various arts in that region. For the North Country faces, we know so many different challenges. And I think especially right now, because, tourism is hurting, that is, sadly, it's the perfect example of how intertwined the business and arts communities are, and how they really do depend on one another, especially in a place like that. Through the Arts Alliance of Northern New Hampshire, there's something called the White Mountain Air Program, and it's an artist in residence program that's for professional or emerging artists, and it brings artists into the forest and looks at artistic and creative expression and how interacting with the natural environment and the forest, how they can inform one another. So that's something that's really exciting that is, happening up there, but everybody's in sort of a stalled place right now. But people are communicating, the arts always rally, and, there's a lot of support for one another in the arts organizations. Over in the Upper Valley is the Upper Valley Arts Alliance. And again, this is a group that supports the various entities in their area, like, the Lebanon Opera House and Ava Gallery.
So you talked about the intertwining of business and the arts, and with 2020 and the challenging year that everyone's had, business and the arts community, given the mission of NHBCA of bringing these groups together for the synergies that we just talked about, what are some other challenges that just the arts world or community is facing, given the limited capacities, the social distancing, both from an organizational perspective and your art entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I think you really see with the performing arts venues, because of the social distancing, that's really difficult to get people into the, you know, into the space. And it's also sort of perception, right? And sort of people have a lot of fear right now. So many of the venues have gone to virtual events, which I think is working out fairly well for some of them. You know, but even if you do that and you have a nominal sort of ticket fee, you still have huge overhead and you have staff that there's no work for them. So, you know, there's the whole unemployment situation and what's going to happen with, you know, the CARES Act and extending unemployment benefits and all of that. So I think that something that's interesting, I was talking with Nikki Clark from the Capital Center for the Arts the other day, and she was saying, you know, I've got these really dedicated people that, you know, work for the organization, like the stage hands and the tech, you know, and lights people. You know, and if unemployment runs out, what's going to happen to these folks? And, you know, we talked about how do you help these individuals to, you know, take their skills and recognize for themselves or have others help them to recognize what are their transferable skills and how do they leverage those? So many of these folks are, you know, they're the gig economy. So they might be doing, you know, doing a show up at Meadowbrook, but then, you know, the next day they're down, you know, I don't know, at the Palace, or they might be over at the Music Hall or that type of thing. I mean, it's really challenging. So I know that that's a huge concern, especially for the performing arts venues. You know, there, and then there are the smaller venues too, or the smaller theater groups that are really affected. It's hurting everybody. So for us at the NHBCA, the more that we can try and help, you know, even to just get the word out about what's happening with these organizations and encourage people to do things like for the holidays, you know, purchase gift certificates to, you know, to see a show in the future, because that will, you know, that's one way that you can help support, you know, your local theater. If you can't write a big check, then, you know, maybe you could buy a nice gift certificate for somebody on your gift list.
That's a great idea. You're speaking about the challenging times that we're in, and as we enter this winter season and the news of the rising numbers of COVID, what is available to people of New Hampshire that miss arts and culture, and perhaps what is your organization doing for arts in the virtual environment as the season approaches?
So one of the things that we're trying to do in terms of, you know, playing a modest role in supporting individual artists entrepreneurs is putting on an art raffle. So it's a fundraiser that people can buy tickets to be able to win one of like 10 works of art. But what we're doing is, so often artists are asked to straight out donate their artwork. Maybe you've heard of this, Linda. You know, a lot of times that happens, and, you know, having had an art gallery myself and been sort of an artist myself, I do understand both sides of the coin. But what we're doing is, and we did this in the spring with our virtual event, is we held an art raffle fundraiser, and instead of just getting the artist to give us artwork so our organization could, you know, raise money, we decided that it was important, if we're advocating for artists as business people and entrepreneurs, that we share the ticket proceeds. So we're doing that again. And the artists will receive 65% of the ticket proceeds, and the NHBCA will retain 35%. And when we did that in the spring, people really thought that was exciting. The artists thought it was great, because that never happens, or it's rare that that happens. And the people who purchased tickets actually that was a motivating factor for them, knowing that their money was, yes, it was coming to support our organization, but they thought it was really great that it was going to support an individual artist. So that's one thing that we're working on. And in terms of continuing to try to do virtual events, we don't have anything specific planned right now. You know, we have the AR exhibition that will launch next month, and we probably will have some kind of VIP type event for the members so that they get to see it first. And then, of course, it will be open to anybody who downloads the app to participate.
I have to say, if I learned of that 65-35, it would be a motivator for me as well, because I feel so strongly about supporting artists. It's amazing to me, the amazing artists that we have in New Hampshire. And the listeners can't see it, but you know, my house is filled with original art. And I always seek to buy gifts. I tend to go to the League of Craftsmen and art places to buy original art. And I always ask for a sheet about the artist. So when I give the gift, I give a little piece of education, and I love when they do that.
Absolutely.
How can our listeners support the fundraising initiatives of the Committee for the Arts?
So we will be, I believe next week we'll have our raffle up and running. So if people wanted to check out, you know, the art raffle pieces and wanted to purchase tickets, that would be great. We have the drawing, I believe it's on December 16th. So that's one way that you can support our organization. And of course, if you would like to become a member, you can find the membership information on our website, which is nhbca.com. And you know, really sign up for our newsletter and just get to know who we are and what we do.
Yeah, another thing I've always done throughout my many, many years is whenever I have someone who gets married, you know, my daughter's friends, I always look for an original art piece of New Hampshire white birch trees.
Oh,
and I give it to them with a written on the back that no matter where they may go in life, here's something to remind them of their New Hampshire roots.
Oh.
And so I'm always gravitating to the white birch trees, but we are entering the holiday season and purchasing gifts. Where can people learn more about art for sale in New Hampshire?
Sure. So you can definitely check out the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen. As you said, they have great shops around the state, but you can always go online and see art from, I think they have something like 700 juried members. And then, you know, oftentimes there are individual artists who have studio tours. More of them are doing virtual studio tours. If you go and look at social media, you might find out about that. But also if you sign up for our newsletter, I hate to be self-promotional here, but if you do sign up for our newsletter, we oftentimes let you know about different happenings.
And what would you like our listeners to know about New Hampshire Business Committee for the Arts that you perhaps have not mentioned it yet?
Really, that we are looking to build stronger ties in various communities around the state. I think that there is a perception, whether it's right or wrong, that we're very much sort of Manchester Concord centric, and I'm in the board are very interested in, you know, getting out into other communities to be able to let them know, you know, what we do and find out how we might partner with businesses and artists and organizations in those different regions.
And lastly, Tricia, what would you like our listeners to know about Tricia Soul?
Wow. What would I don't know. That's a tough one. Just that I'm hugely passionate about the arts, and you said it earlier, Jennifer, and it bears repeating. I just feel so lucky to be able to have this job that gives me great joy, and I feel like I'm, you know, making a difference in terms of giving artists more of a platform with the business community and giving the business folks greater opportunity to, you know, be engaged in the arts. I just love my job.
Well, thank you, Tricia. I know NHBCA is lucky to have you and the direction that you're taking the organization. Where we are today and where we expect to be in the future is exciting, and we look forward to seeing all the new paths that we can go down with you for the arts and the business community. So thank you for joining us today.
We really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Enjoyed the conversation. As they say, investing in the arts is good for business. Right, Tricia?
Absolutely true.
So as Tricia said, if anybody's interested in learning more about NHBCA or joining as a member, you can find the information at www.nhbca.com. Thank you for joining us for McLean Middleton Minutes. This is our second What's Her Story episode. The first featured Jerrianne Bogus of the Black Heritage Trail of New Hampshire. Future episodes include Ani Malachi, the Executive Director of the New Hampshire Commission for Human Rights, and Dean Megan Carpenter from the University of New Hampshire Franklin Pierce School of Law.
Thank you for listening to McLean Middleton Minutes, a production of the McLean Middleton Law Firm. We invite you to share this podcast with your colleagues and friends. Check back soon for additional episodes.